What's up, everybody? It is IBS Yeezus or IBN Yeezus. I gotta keep it with the brand IBN.
Actively Yeezus. Lazy forever.
I know, man. I know. I really need to keep actively lazy. I really thought that was pretty creative. It's my handle on Twitter and on PlayStation Network. But we are here with our first NFL recap show of the 2022 season. I called it Week Zero. Let me move this. Week Zero of the NFL recap show. You guys, if you're just joining in, if you're looking, I'm streaming on YouTube within our group itself, IBN Sports, and then also on my actual profile. By all means, you don't have to be a part of the group to join in on the conversation, but it's cool if you do, like things like this, which I love it when they don't subscribe. So it just says Facebook user, but I can always tell somebody from my friends list. if you want to have your name show up when you make posts or post comments, just hit the streamyard.com/Facebook. If you're on Facebook, if you're on YouTube, I think it does it automatically. So you can do that. I have with me Joe the Brain Matz. We will be transitioning to Monday nights or Tuesday nights. We haven't figured it out yet, but when the season starts, we'll transition. So we come in after the Monday night game, and then our regular NFL show from the group with me, Corey, and Ronnie will take place between 11 and 12 on Sunday mornings. All right. So, Joe, we took a brief hiatus. We had all these random plans, and then I tried to be a comic and got busy and then got COVID and stuff. So here we're back. But there is one topic that we have to talk about yet again, which is still not over.
Yeah, every show.
Yeah, I know. It's ongoing. But Deshaun Watson, I guess since the last time we met, they had the trial. They had the meeting. And then he was given a 6-game suspension. What was your reaction for the initial outcome of 6 games?
I mean, I think like most people, especially after we'd heard that the NFL was asking for a full season, 6 was surprisingly low. So, I mean, that was my definitely initial reaction to it. Because it was so low, I'm not surprised that the NFL appealed. You know, it was a pretty hard uproar. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger and Zeke both got 6 games back in the day. And, obviously, what Judge Robinson, her thought process was that Deshaun, despite committing multiple sexual assaults, according to her findings, that it was nonviolent sexual assault, whatever that would be. And so that's why, even though, I mean, the NFL only brought five and one got thrown out, 4 cases. But even though it was multiple women, because it was nonviolent, she felt 6 was kind of a maximum, where I think most of us, you know, we look at it and, you know, Zeke, it was one woman, it was bad. I would say 6 should have been a minimum there. But when you're comparing 1 to 4, or, you know, the actual reality of 1 to 24, 6 seems very lacking.
Yeah, I really thought there was a couple of scenarios I had worked out in my head based on how the rules are set up now with the appeal process and the whole aspect of an independent person reviewing the punishment. So I really thought that it was going to work one of two ways. Either she would cave in to the NFL pressure, and I mean, it's a female judge. I had looked at some of her previous rulings and other cases and things like that. She was on the more conservative side, so I just assumed that she would be bringing the hammer. So it was very surprising to me to see 6 games. I thought 8 at least. But I had to like take a step back and kind of think about, like, read her actual opinion. Mm-hmm. And if you read her actual opinion, and she talks about how basically her issue is that the NFL just seems to be reactionary, and that there is no precedent for this particular situation, not necessarily the punishment per se, but the scope of the allegations, her process, and the personal conduct policy all being involved in this capacity. There's never been a case like this. So she thought 6 was more or less fair because of the nonviolent nature, which I get that from my old job where I used to work and what constitutes as nonviolent.
Right.
But in my mind, I've always been on the whole, you know, if you have predatory behavior, like you need help. You can be punished as well, but you also need some kind of help from a clinician, some kind of evaluation, something. She more or less, I think, kind of leaned to that realm too, that he was predatory, because she definitely put in a clause about him using only Cleveland like team massage therapists from here on out. And with all that said, I feel like if it was an actual criminal case, she would have found him guilty. But also, she was more or less, based on her opinion, almost offended by the work that the NFL brought, I guess, in their presentation, arguing for their want of a year-long punishment. Just seems like they didn't do their due diligence, which is wild, because it's the NFL. I'm pretty sure their legal team is probably the best that money can buy, especially when you're talking about getting what you want. And it just came off like I've seen a lot of opinions from judges, and typically when they hit you with an underhand or backhand like compliment type thing, whenever it's an insult somewhere in an opinion, you've kind of offended them or made a mockery of the process, and they just they're just not having it. So we got my boy Grimm.
But before we move on, I just want to cover real quick, because this is something I didn't realize when it initially got announced, but it's very unlikely that Deshaun, even if the NFL comes down and says it's 12 games, the full season, whatever the decision that gets handed down now on appeal, it's very unlikely he will play in the first 6 weeks, because the NFLPA and Watson decided not to challenge the 6-week suspension, which was the first clue that it was going to be not that hard of a suspension, is what we found out. But because they didn't challenge that, you know, they're going to probably argue that because there's the appeal, that erases the initial one. But more than likely, the NFL would win on the grounds that they're extending the appeal, they're not erasing it. So most likely, we'll not see Deshaun, no matter what happens, until week 7. So I think that further kind of gives the NFL kind of more power in the bargaining if they try to reach a deal here. And then I think people have to keep in mind that, I mean, Deshaun will ultimately almost definitely lose this. I think they have to set a set amount of games, because the one time the NFL did get a suspension fully overturned was Ray Rice, because it was indefinite, although it didn't matter because no one was going to sign Ray Rice. But, you know, Brady lost, Zeke lost. It's in the CBA that this is how the process works. He will lose, and missing one game next year would cost Deshaun Watson more money than missing this entire season, because of the way that contract is structured. So there is no chance he is risking missing games next season. So whatever happens this year, he's not showing up till week 7 almost definitely, and I think he's going to be highly motivated to reach some sort of deal, whatever that is, most likely probably 12 games and some sort of monetary fine. But yeah, he can't let it go into next year.
Yeah, what I was reading prior to the ruling coming out, it seemed like if whatever was determined rolled into next year, that there was a time limit to you know, like how many games he could miss next year before Cleveland opted to maybe look into voiding the contract altogether. And there's it's some vague language that they could use that's pretty much standard for all contracts. So I mean, I don't think they would go that far, because
that would be
$230 million or however much they paid him guaranteed is an investment. And so when you guarantee that type of money, I think you're committed for the long haul. Grimm, just to answer your question, Roger Goodell is still the end all to everything. I mean, it's the most the current CBA is the most like dumb. I don't even know how to say it. I'm trying to keep it family friendly. It's a waste of fucking time, though.
Right, really like,
this whole process, at the end of the day, yeah. Goodell's still judge and jury. Because if he doesn't like, obviously, as we're seeing now, if he doesn't like what said judge does or said person does, then he can appeal, and he essentially appeals to himself and restarts the process again. I had made a post back in June saying that, you know, if for some reason Watson was suspended indefinitely for a year, if Watson and his team wanted to appeal that that ruling, they in turn appeal to Roger Goodell somehow, which is stupid because he's going to say, nope, appeal denied. So it is set up more or less for the NFL to get their way one way or another.
Right. It's a little bit better because I think if it's not such a big case,
yeah,
you're now having someone who has some independence making decisions. But obviously, yeah, push comes to shove, it's still Goodell's way or the highway. That's it.
Tampering in Miami. I like that. I like that. I actually came up with that myself. But of course, we got – have we had an offseason in the last, I don't know, 7-8 years that didn't involve Tom Brady or the Patriots of any kind? Like, you know how they have the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, I think?
Right.
We could probably do 6 degrees of the New England Patriots under Belichick when it comes to scandals. They're always somehow involved some kind of way.
Except this time the winner is Bill Belichick. So yeah, that's the big difference in this one. Which all because he accidentally sent a text.
Yeah, which is a rabbit hole in and of itself. Accidentally sends a text to Flores, which then in turn gets Ross in trouble, the Dolphins in trouble. I don't even know what's going on anymore with Bill and his master plan. But if you're not aware, the Dolphins owner pulled out the red carpet too early for his recruitment of Sean Payton and Tom Brady, and the NFL did their own investigation of the allegations, which I find to be kind of funny because nobody really knew this was going on. And then they found a ruling. They had a ruling and they handed out some punishment, which again, everybody was kind of caught off guard. And it was ironically around the same time that Deshaun Watson news broke, which makes the Shield what they are because they're really good at this, distracting people. But the Dolphins, I think, lost their first round pick and a third round pick.
Yeah, it's a first next year and a third the following year.
And so they got fined. Ross got fined $1.5 million, I think, or something like that.
Is nothing.
Nothing. Yeah, absolutely nothing.
Like all owners, he is a billionaire.
Yeah. And it's along the lines of what the Patriots got for Deflategate. I think it was the first and fourth for Deflategate. And I think their fine might have been a little bit more. But the I already know who that is. Yeah, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. In the case of the Dolphins, if you ain't cheating, like I don't know. I mean NBA, they get these allegations for people like who's my guy? Brunson, Jalen Brunson. Right. If I am going to tamper, it would be to pursue somebody like Tom Brady and a coach like Sean Payton. I mean,
my Bulls had a loss because of Lonzo Ball tampering, who missed half the season anyway. So yeah, at least they went big. At least they went big.
Yeah, and the real underlying story here is that the investigator and or the investigation yielded no real substance to Ross's or Flores's claim that Ross wanted to pay him to tank games.
Well, let's be clear on that, though. What they found was that he did say something along those lines to Flores, maybe not the money offer, but they very clearly found that he said to Flores and other people in the organization, like, maybe it would be, but I don't know if he said maybe, but I think the idea was he said it would be great if we lost some more games and got a better draft pick. And the NFL was like, but we found that he was just kidding.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter because we know Flores still tried to win. So it's like basically because Brian Flores had integrity and wanted to still win games, right? Doesn't matter what the owner said. So they basically were like, Flores is telling the truth, but we don't really care, which that's probably the moral of the story. Because when this broke out, we were like, you know what? This is kind of the one thing an owner could do because of gambling and all the stuff, the money involved, that could maybe get them kicked out. And we should have tried that 100%, unless he literally actually went through with paying someone to do this. They're always going to let the owner skate because the owners are ultimately in charge.
Yeah, and it's kind of weird to me that it wasn't made a bigger deal about those allegations at the time. Like, to me, that's the most like damning smoking gun of every person who's ever lost in fantasy football, DFS, right. and the super contest. This shit's rigged. This is rigged. Well, I mean, we kind of had that out there in the forefront, but you know, I didn't think anything else was going to come out of it. I mean, taking draft picks and things like that is, I mean, it's something, but
right, I mean, it's not nothing. I mean, yeah. I think the team actually got a reasonable punishment. I would just argue that Ross skated out pretty free. I mean, he can't show up for 6 weeks. Like, I'm sure he'll suffer greatly. And again, $1 million is, I'm trying to do the math in my head. I mean, $1 million when you're a billionaire, it's jack shit. It doesn't. Yeah.
And then also, just real quick, I know a lot of people are asking why didn't Tom get in trouble or Sean Payton get in trouble? Because tampering rules apparently are primarily for organizations. So yeah. if a player initiates it or if a player violates tampering rules, as long as the team reports it or as long as the team doesn't partake in it or shut it down, then there's an actual article on NBC Sports with the headline of why isn't Tom Brady being punished? So obviously people have been asking if they wanted to put it on the freaking website. But anyway, it's because it doesn't really apply to players.
Well, someone always wants Tom Brady punished.
Yeah, so. I mean, I am that someone. But in this case, it's not really that big of a deal. Moving on, because I don't feel like having Ronnie keep commenting about his boy Tom Brady. Court of public opinion. The NFL is at it again with this reactionary punishment or reactionary things, which is what the judge in the Deshaun Watson ruling was like mad about. But here we have with us running back coach James Saxon, pretty much a who of coaches in the NFL. Sure. Probably wouldn't know him if you've seen him on TV with his name right underneath. Who was James Saxon? But he's been in the league for almost 2 decades, I think, or a little over 2 decades. He's been around for a while.
Yeah, I think I saw that he worked with Priest Holmes. So that tells you.
How long. But he had two domestic battery charges stemming from an incident in May. And he was just put on administrative leave or suspended, I think, like a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Everybody has the same question. Like, what took so long? So the way the process is supposed to go, because I think what ended up getting people in trouble here is that initially people blamed the Cardinals, saying that the Cardinals didn't tell the league, they didn't notify him. And then the Cardinals and Cliff Kingsbury, I think, made a statement like, hold on, we told the league back when it happened in May, and the league was like, okay. And then here we are in August, and the league was like, wait, he should be suspended. And so it's just one of those things where, once again, we have this selective placement on punishment. Like, this is a clear violation of the personal conduct policy. Players, coaches, and owners, anybody associated with the NFL is subject to this personal conduct policy. Had this been a player, we already know what would have happened.
Yes.
Had this been a more prominent coach, we already know what would have happened. But I
will say, though, that the NFL has shown kind of like a want to let things with a lot of the player stuff, the legal stuff, kind of play out.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously the Deshaun thing was a little bit weird because he didn't want to play for the Texans, and so that kind of gave everyone a year to figure stuff out. But, I mean, Kamara's probably not going to get suspended this year because his assault charge from earlier this year is still pending in court, and it might not even get heard till early next year. So they do sometimes wait for this stuff to play out. Although I do think when it's a violence against a woman, women thing, then I think they are more proactive. So there's a good chance that if the player had done this, which what he supposedly did, according to the allegation, is shove this woman in front of her children to the point where she fell into the garage door and then screamed, "You got your gun. You might as well just shoot me now." So if that's what happened, then yeah, this is really bad. And again, the one thing I can't argue with that judge is the NFL is very reactionary.
Yeah.
I mean, the Ray Rice thing is the ultimate proof. Like, literally everything that happened in the Ray Rice situation, we knew. It was written down. It was reported. And no one cared. And this is on the public, too, in the media. No one cared until we saw a video. And then it was like, oh, shit. And then the NFL was like, we got to suspend this guy for the whole season. Because what was it, like 2 games or something? It was something.
Yeah, like, I think it was like 2 games.
So they are very slow to react. And again, I think, to your point, I would have had no idea who James Saxon was before the story. So because he was someone that no one cared about until it got broader attention, the NFL was just like, yeah, we'll let it slide.
The guy had an ankle monitor on up until July 21st. I wonder if he had a reported to camp to coach with an ankle monitor on, would we have heard about this?
Right, that is a good question.
Yeah, and not to be outdone, the Cardinals are just a hot mess anyway this offseason. My boy Kyler Murray, I mean, again, some of this is a little outdated because we're just getting back together, but it's preseason week zero. It's still kind of a headline.
Yeah.
So Kyler Murray had a study hall clause. That's what I'm going to call it, a study hall clause in his contract where he had to do, 4 hours of film study with no distractions whatsoever. Right.
So, 4 hours in a week. It wasn't even that much, which is another weird part about this story.
Well, you know, I as a person who's always multitasking, even when I'm playing games, even when I'm doing podcasts, I'm always multitasking. I find it hard to study if I don't have Call of Duty or something going on in the background myself. I like to do my studying in between loading into the matches. So I feel like I get the most done. So I kind of understand Kyler in that aspect. Like that's to some people just study under pressure like that.
Well, I think that's probably true more and more too with younger people.
Younger people. Are you calling me old?
Am I old? I'm just saying that you're definitely older than me.
You see how you said that? Oh man, now I know how Ronnie feels.
you're we've got the hierarchy of age.
So yeah.
You're still definitely younger than Ronnie. But I think the reality is if Peyton Manning would probably be like, that's crazy that someone would be playing video games and watching film at the same time. And then somebody in high school or college right now would be like, yeah, that makes sense to me.
I don't think after watching how Kyler Murray plays, I think there's a different definition of what watching film really means. And it's not, I don't think that he necessarily doesn't watch film. Obviously, to be, like he said, to be successful at the level that he's at in multiple sports, a lot of commitment goes into that. However, there have been several times over the last season and a quarter where I have questioned openly, not only if Kyle's watching, but if Cliff is watching because of some of the things that they do, the tendencies that they have as a football team. But at the end of the day, that is one of the most disrespectful things I've ever seen in a contract. And I've seen a lot of NFL contracts over the last decade. It's kind of been my little side hobby to check the reading of the contracts and how much people really are worth, market value, etc. And I mean, I've seen some stuff in contracts, but I've never seen anything like that. And I think people in the industry had also said, or respected people in the industry had also said they'd never seen anything like that. And yeah. I openly questioned when the story came out, why would you sign that? Why would you, even if it was true, why would you sign? Why would you hinge your $160 million guarantee on 4 hours of studying?
I don't understand it from literally any perspective. Like, yeah, it doesn't make sense for Kyler because, yeah, I mean, it sounds insane, but technically, yeah, they could have voided the contract if he was not following through on this.
That's the wild part to me.
Like, I mean, I don't know if it would hold up, but yeah, like potentially that could happen. And then why would you want any of this out there? I know people are like, who leaked it? As far as I understand, no one leaked it. Like, contracts are not hidden at all. Like,
you don't have to get
it. People can read through it. Someone read through it and was like, this is insane.
Yeah.
So why would you put that in there? Because obviously, if anyone read through the contract, they were going to be like, wow, I've never seen this before. It's news. And it doesn't help anyone. It's a huge distraction. It makes Kyler look bad. It makes the team look bad. Why is that discussion not happening behind closed doors?
And
like, it makes
why does that default the contract though? That's what I mean. Can we just have like a fine or something? Like, why would you default the entire contract on 4 hours a week?
Right, it'd be like a $50,000 fine any week.
Yeah,
that would have made a lot more sense.
There's been weight loss.
Would be crazy though.
Yeah, I was gonna say there's been like weight loss type clauses, but I've never seen somebody like default.
Study clause. Yeah.
So
the Raiders wish they'd had that with Jamarcus Russell. So.
Yeah, Jamarcus would have been the prime example of when that would have been necessary. I wonder. Like the Cardinals have, like, they seem like they're building up for Hard Knocks. It's like perfect. A week or so ago, Kyler and Cliff had a little incident in practice, and Cliff stopped calling plays because he wanted Kyler to see it's not easy or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm like, what league are we in now?
That sounds like it would have happened with Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, but I would side with Aaron Rodgers though.
Well, I mean, who's siding with Mike McCarthy?
That's right. A grown man in mandatory study hall, man. It's kind of awful. I got some short jokes I could make, but it's just not appropriate.
The one other thing I want to mention about this, because, you know, some guy on Reddit compiled the, like, what happened
to
Tyler's stats when there's, like, a Call of Duty 2 XP weekend, which I don't play Call of Duty. I assume 2 XP just means you like get boosts on your points when you play that week. But this has made the rounds enough for, like, I know on local radio in Tucson, they were bringing this up. And I just want to point out that this is pretty meaningless. Like, some of the stuff they brought up is his yards per game goes from 251 to 245, and his completion percentage drops from 67.3 to 67.2. So some of these drops mean absolutely nothing. And even the ones where, like, they have a winning record when Call of Duty doesn't have these specials and they have a losing record when they do, doesn't take into account who they played. So if, you know, if they're playing the same quality of teams and their winning percentage is dropping big, that's telling. But I would guess that they're probably playing better teams those weeks. So I would not put any stock into this. He's playing way too much Call of Duty, and that's why the Cardinals lose. And again, every single Cliff Kingsbury team, without exception, from the start of his Texas Tech through last season with the Cardinals, they are worse in the second half of the season. And Kyler Murray was not on those Texas Tech teams. So I'm not saying he's blameless. Obviously, there's probably been issues with him not studying enough film. But the idea that this is somehow a big Kyler Murray thing and, like, Cliff is fine is ridiculous.
Let me just say, I would agree with you if not for the fact that there is a legitimate correlation in James Harden's play in cities when they have a good strip club and his play when they don't have a good strip
that
club.
That one I believe. Yeah, no,
it was a legitimate gambling trend where we would bet against the Rockets or take Harden under in points the night at, like, that he was in, like, Miami or something like that. Like, you just knew he was just gonna play like shit. So I don't know, man. I I'm a gamer. I've been a gamer all my life. I mean, I was just recovering from COVID, and I spent like 18 hours on No Man's Sky. So I get it. You could definitely waste your life away on a game, but I also don't see how, like, unless you have, like, a legitimate issue, you're a top-tier athlete. There's a lot that goes into training and conditioning and things like that. I just don't see them playing games that much that it would affect their play, you know? Because right. if that was the case, you would have this would have been come up. This would have you wouldn't have made it this far. Like you were
no, there's clearly an pick, issue.
You know,
like right, I feel yeah, that. But yeah, I thought he made a good point in his press conference. Again, I'm sure he's there's got to be some issue they won't put in the contract. But his whole thing where he's like, "Yeah, I won the Heisman, I won Rookie of the Year, and I never study tape." Like, sure, if you want to say I'm that amazing at this without working, then great. I think that was a fair point.
Yeah. Yeah, and it, at the end of the day, it was definitely bad PR for everybody.
Yeah, no one comes out looking good in yeah. this. Absolutely no one in the Cardinals organization.
Kyler, if you ever watch this show, fire your agent. And make sure you do your studying. wait, I almost skipped our guy, Aaron Rodgers. My man Aaron Rodgers had an out-of-body Viking experience. That's what I'm going to call it. Because he said like ancestors. Like when you're white and you say ancestors, I just assume you're talking about Vikings or something Danish. I don't know. Like when we have our ancestors or we think of ancestors, we think of like Wakanda and stuff like that. I think you guys think of like Valhalla or something. So he said 100 hands was touching him and stuff like that. I mean, he's a weird dude. I try not to make fun of people because I don't understand what they're going through or I'm not mm-hmm. that's not sure. my thing. So when I say he's a weird dude, I just say that because he's been six different people over the last 6 years. And I'm like, who are you, Aaron Rodgers? Are you QAnon Aaron Rodgers? Are you Stop the Steal like January 6th? there are people on both sides, Aaron Rodgers. Are you, dude, where's my car, Aaron Rodgers? Like, which one are you? You're Con Air, Aaron Rodgers.
That's right, Con Air.
Yeah, like.
That was a good one. I
am confused. He was John Wick one time. I mean, what is going on? What is going on? And where do you go during the playoffs, Aaron? That's what I want to know. And if you could just keep staying in that place when you play the Niners, I'd appreciate it. So
apparently ayahuasca is actually South American. So I'm not sure yeah. whose ancestors Aaron Rodgers.
You guys travel. Doesn't sound like it's fine. I mean, it would make sense. His ancestors are all over the place because, well, we know how they do.
But that's everywhere.
So here's my only issue here, and it's not. I'm not trying to get on my soapbox, but he's advocating for psychedelics. He said he tried shrooms. I mean, you're in a league where supplements and things like that can get you in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I like the thing going around that Josh Gordon got suspended for because Aaron Rodgers did ayahuasca.
Yeah. I mean, at some point, I'm wondering, like, he's at the tail end of his career, but more so for like other people who are going to maybe consider experimenting or something like that. Like, what happens if this lands on a banned substance list? And it doesn't have to be ayahuasca; it could be something within the concoction that pops you or something like that. Then what happens? And then also, like, do you want your quarterback taking psychedelics, man? Like,
I mean, feel like the answer is no, but Aaron Rodgers can obviously do whatever he wants.
Thankfully, he went to South America and found a spot that was authentic. Because God help you if you're in the back of somebody's car or at your friend's house.
Yeah, don't think that you can just go do this because Aaron Rodgers did it. Because he can afford to do the absolute best version of this.
So he said it made him a better leader, quarterback, person, blah, blah, blah. He's even considering reconciling with his family.
And, really? Wait, did he say that?
Yeah, there's reports that he's considering reconciling with his family.
I don't know. I might believe in it if that happens.
And I think he's switched girlfriends like three times since then. So I don't know, man. Whatever works for you, Aaron. Whatever works for you.
Do you, Aaron.
Yeah, and he's got a new girl now.
Not sure about vaccines and stuff, but ayahuasca, put it in my veins.
I'll just go ahead and say it. He coming off like a junkie, man. I'm worried.
Everything but the vaccine can go.
Yeah, away. Like everything but the vaccine. Oh, yeah. And I'm not advocating for the vaccine or not. Do what you do, but don't go, ew, I don't know what you're putting into my body, and then going to a South American village and doing ayahuasca.
Right. At least if you're going to be like that person, be the hardcore, like, I only eat organic, I don't do this, don't do that. If you're going to commit to, I don't put things in my body unless I know, go for it. But yeah, if you're eating hot Cheetos and having ayahuasca, then you don't have much to stand.
And even if you Googled ayahuasca, it's still 50-50 on whether or not it's safe or not.
This is not on the same level as like your ordinary shrooms or something. This is a different ball game.
But yeah, so he's apparently cool with it, and I'm not gonna lie, I'm kind of considering trying it myself just to see what this out of body experience will do. Maybe it'll turn me into like a MVP something.
That's what you gotta do right before one of your sets. Ayahuasca hit.
Oh man,
that actually, have the 100 hands on you while you perform.
It would probably do better than the liquor that I intake before I do those sets. 100 hands. That was another thing. I don't like being touched. So 100 hands, if that's truly
that's,
what
it is. That's too many hands.
Yeah, if I'm really getting 100 hands on me, no. I am going to freak out, because I'm just going to be like, ancestor or not, bro. Like, don't touch me. Can't you just talk to me? Can I have the Superman Kyle vision type thing going? Like, or Mufasa and Simba, like, you don't have to actually touch me.
I mean, maybe the Sean Watson should stop getting massages and just start doing ayahuasca. That'll
That's a good one. I don't know, because from what I heard about his massages, I think it's the source point of where he likes to be touched that might even upset the ancestors.
Yeah. Nobody but Deshaun wants it.
Yeah, this is supposed to be a play on QAnon, but anyway, we have sauces. If you're not familiar with our group, it's a term that we use for sources that are not actually sources, essentially anonymous sources, people just talking to talk. And now we have our very favorite NFL defensive coordinator. Like, that's my favorite default source in the
NFL. We all are just assuming it's Jack Del Rio, right?
It's Jack Del Rio or Rex Ryan. It's one of the two. I've got a trap I'm building to see who will fall for it. The fact that he was so critical of Lamar, and then partially critical of Mahomes makes.
Do we know it was the same defensive coordinator though?
It probably was Del Rio though, because that tendency to not understand African Americans or people of color seems along the lines for him. I mean, Rex understands this. He definitely understands this, but Jack don't get it. No. So, but I wanted to introduce the Fingerworks. No Deshaun Watson joke there. That's what the technology is called. It's a telestrator. And pull up some plays of Patrick Mahomes being a one-read quarterback, because there's so many examples. But unfortunately, I don't have a computer fast enough to do the screen share with the program running, so I didn't. However, I will say, if you think that Patrick Mahomes is truly a one-read quarterback, please go back and look at the last two series in the Buffalo Bills game last year in the divisional playoff game. Just go look at those last two series. You don't even have to watch anything else. Just watch those last two series and check out what a one-read quarterback really does. I think anybody that thinks he's a one-read quarterback is absolutely stupid. And I'm a Patrick Mahomes hater because he's light-skinned, and that's like my gimmick. I don't like light-skinned players. But Patty's not one-read, man. You can't be one-read in an Andy Reid system. It just doesn't even make sense. No. Like, the whole concept of the offense doesn't fit those types of quarterbacks, which is why he doesn't have those types of quarterbacks, which is why he's even had people like Michael Vick learn how to read the field, because you have to, because there's so much going on. You can't key on one player. And so for somebody to say that, even anonymously, I'm mad at the person who allegedly said it. I'm mad at the person who was stupid enough to print it.
Mike Sando's just getting clicks on his article, so
I'm with Ryan Clark, man. If you say some wild stuff like that, like for even the bare minimum football minds, you need to put your name behind it because that's absurd. And if you're going to be that absurd, you might as well say it. Like I put my name behind some wild stuff. I said Patrick Mahomes' second year was going to be off the charts bad, and he won the Super Bowl, I think, that year. So
his first year starting, second year in the league, he was MVP. Yeah. Super Bowl winner. So I'm pretty sure since Bill Walsh came into coaching, we haven't had a one read QB win MVP. So
no,
it's a
which Andy Reid is from that tree essentially. So you literally can't. You just can't. You can't be productive if you're like that. No. The Lamar Jackson stuff. It's always the same shit with Lamar Jackson. Yep. You can't win with Lamar. Yet Lamar keeps winning games. Now, if you're saying you can't win a Super Bowl with Lamar, I'm going to always come back and say that Super Bowls are team wins.
Yeah.
Very rare have we seen one player, especially a quarterback, one quarterback literally take over and be the reason that the team won a Super Bowl. Usually this getting to the Super Bowl requires a quarterback of a certain caliber. To win a Super Bowl requires an entire team for sure. Lamar's definitely got the caliber to get to a Super Bowl. He's been close. And then the games, like especially that last time with the Titans, is the one game I go back to when they were the number one seed that year and they ended up losing to Tennessee.
Yeah,
he didn't start that great, but he literally contributed for over 500 yards of offense by himself through the air.
Right. And on the ground. Really, it's like they convert a couple fourth downs that they didn't in that game.
Yeah.
A completely different game.
Yeah, so like what more do you want him to do? And he can't fucking stop.
And I would just remind people that, I mean, Peyton Manning didn't win a playoff game till year 5 and didn't win the Super Bowl till year 8.
Yeah.
It's really hard to win the Super Bowl. Dan Marino went to one in his second season and never made it back.
Got obliterated. But yeah, so, he was there.
The idea that it's just like Lamar, I mean, I understand Lamar is in that offense. It's different than what everyone else is doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to attract people who are not going to believe every single time. Again, though, yeah, they've been winners the entire time he's been out there. They would have made the playoffs last year if he didn't get hurt. So
yeah, I don't like Greg Roman, and I'm advocating for Lamar Jackson being deserving of the money that hopefully he gets, and also, I mean, being a little bit more respected than what people are giving him. Passing wise, I think some of that is scheme as to why he's not as successful through the air.
Some of it is definitely scheme.
Yeah.
He does have problems sometimes throwing deep to the outside. I know
the
like numbers on Marquise Brown's like catchable balls, I forget what they are, but they're really bad, which is a reason to be bullish on him now that he's with Kyler. But yeah, it's a combo of Lamar's limitations, but also Greg Roman's limitations in scheming a passing game.
And my favorite thing, if he can't throw it, stop fucking calling it. Like that would help, you know, run Brown somewhere else. Try something different.
And people should keep in mind too, last year that they had like, they're on like their fourth running back at the start of the season.
Yeah.
As much as running backs is the position that like doesn't matter. If you're going to run it that much, it kind of does. And it especially matters when you're going from J.K. Dobbins to whoever they had out there. I don't even remember who they had out there most of the season.
Yeah, I don't either. And I was going to say, he has some offensive line injuries too.
Yeah.
That also kind of messed him up. Something that we'll touch on and be real brief, Debo and the Niners reconcile. I guess that's big news. I'm just like, dude, what'd you do all that crying for? If that's what you're going to do. Like, you took us completely off your social media, got clips of you being like, nah, I ain't with them dudes. And then you show up at camp and everything and then resign. Like, what? For what? If you're going to act like that, I was expecting like a record-breaking contract or something. He went for what he probably should have went for.
Yeah, it seems like all these receivers are getting just a slight variation on the same contract.
Ridiculous. But I'm happy to have him back, obviously. Yeah. So I'm not upset. No. My guy, Aaron Donald, loves social distancing so much so that he has a drill for it where he essentially – makes the rookie offensive lineman act like he's Zeke. I don't know if you ever seen that clip of him chokeslamming Zeke, but he essentially makes him into Zeke, and he just keeps choking him over and over and over. But if you haven't seen it yet, I think the
podcast. It is a funny visual.
Yeah. I think the podcast is I Am Athlete. Brandon Marshall asked him about it because it went viral. And he explains it as a technique. And he demos the drill and then asks Brandon Marshall if he'd like him to show him how it's done. And Marshall's like, no. But it's just a funny interaction. So it is a – and like you said, if the guy had his helmet on, it wouldn't look as bad. But it is a technique.
And it is something you have to practice because, again, if you actually – if you do that and you hit a guy's face mask, you're going to get a penalty.
Yeah.
And it's something you have to be good at if you're going to do it.
Yeah, and if you're Aaron Donald and you see just as many triple teams as you do double teams, yeah, it's probably good to be able to use your hands to hold somebody off. And he is – I swear to you, he's got to be the strongest guy I've ever seen play D-line with that kind of athletic ability outside of Reggie White, with fair, just the fact that if it's that one clip, and I always go back to it, but Connor Williams is not small. He ain't a good blocker, but he's not a small body. And he's bull rushed Connor Williams back into Zeke, who is also getting pushed into Dak Prescott. And with his free hand continues to push Connor Williams. And then I'm talking like literally grab Zeke like I would grab my five-year-old and took him off his feet and just put him in the ground and probably would have gotten to Dak Prescott if Dak wasn't smart enough and was like, let me get rid of this goddamn ball. Like it's just wild to see. And it's not just the combination of power, but it's how quick everything took place. And even Zeke was just kind of caught off guard like, you're not going to treat me like this. I'm a grown man. And Aaron Donald was like, you're my child. So, and, of course, Connor Williams is doing his little thing that he does when he's doing the little spinning, kind of trying to block you with gravity. But, no. Nah. But either way, like I said, he's a monster, man. I have dreams of him lining up outside on Trent Williams one time and them just going at it. But they don't move him out there much against us, which is fine. We would run away from him anyway.
There's no reason to put your best guy against their best guy.
Like, yeah, we would
take advantage of everyone else.
But he's a monster, man. I mean, I'm happy to see him back too. I really was afraid that he would retire, but he didn't, thankfully. All right, and in closing, our favorite camp fights. I don't know why I saw a clip of somebody trying to fight Josh Allen, but if you're in the Buffalo Bills, even if you're mad at Josh Allen, you should punch the guy next to Josh Allen. Josh Allen and Diggs should not be touched if you're the Buffalo Bills. You can get angry at them. Go on Twitter, pull your best KD and post anonymously and say some stuff from a burner. But do not put your hands on those two people because you need them so bad and you need them to be healthy. I just like was very confused. Like people were sharing the video like it was something special. I'm like, this idiot is attacking his quarterback and his quarterback is like MVP level. Like, what the hell are you doing?
Right. If you go from Josh Allen to Case Keenum, who's the backup there, that's a pretty big drop off.
Yeah,
so don't do that. Don't fight the QB. Go to the sideline and punch Matt Barkley.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Or punch your coach.
Just punch Matt Barkley.
Punch your coach.
Leave Josh Allen alone. Like, yeah, that's as bad as the Ayuk Warner fight is because that's two guys who are very important. Well, I mean, I guess the Niners functioned okay for half a season last year without Ayuk. But that's, yeah, two good starters. That's still not nearly as stupid as someone trying to fight Josh Allen.
Yeah, I would love for somebody to punch.
But also Josh Allen have some awareness and be like, I'm the QB. I shouldn't get in fights. Like, yeah, everyone involved, be smarter. That's as dumb as all fights are in camp because you're on the same team. Any fight involving the starting quarterback is next level. Although, what was it, Geno?
No,
that was like in season, right?
Yeah, he got punched because he owed that dude money.
Don't be like the Jets with Geno Smith.
That was hilarious. I forgot that guy's name, but I remember his picture if I seen it. But yeah, that was probably the most infamous fight that we've had in a long time for teammates. But and then the alleged Golden Tate and was it Percy Harvin? fight, or
that might be right.
I think it was them two. That was
that would make sense to me.
Yeah. So, but yeah, camp fights. I just think they're stupid. I get it. It's intensity. Now, if it's like the Texans came to visit the Commandos and they get into a fight like between the two teams, that's a little different. Like you were saying, we're talking about these are inter-practice, like inter-squad scrimmages, and you're fighting each other. Like, that's stupid. Like, just chill out. So that has been week zero. I will be, unfortunately, watching preseason football games, and I will try to come back with some. I mean, it's not much to analyze, like, no, for preseason. But if some people stand out or I see some stuff, sure, that I like, I'll definitely bring it next week. Joe, anything you see that's not your boy Staley, just let me know. And
they're coming, man. Chargers rising.
They're not. No. Believe. No.
Chargers, Bills.
I foresee a Doug Peterson like fall for your guy. I can't wait.
I guess to succeed more first.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, like, Doug went from, oh, he's a genius every fourth down to, what are you doing? Why are you doing that?
Yeah, it turns out maybe the assistants were important on that Eagles team.
Yeah.
It's possible.
What's going to turn out is maybe you should just punt the ball sometimes. No, it's okay. It's okay sometimes.
Sometimes. If you have Carson Wentz, you should punt the ball sometimes. If you have Justin Herbert, you should go for it.
What was that? Raiders? Was that the Raiders game we were super tight about? I was super tight about when I was like, what the fuck are you doing?
Well, I mean, at the end of that last Raiders game, they couldn't do anything except on fourth downs.
Yeah.
The longest 2-minute drill in history. I think it was like a 14-play 2-minute drill. But they were so good at converting because they were used to doing it all year.
That division will be a lot of fun, though.
Oh, it's going to be amazing.
But we'll be back next week. If you guys want to send me some stuff, whether it be in the group or shoot me a DM, something you want us to talk about or something you want to see, that's cool. Joe, I might have to use you for the first film review thing, sure, that we do. Like, once I get this screen share thing up and running the way it's supposed to, we'll probably do that. And now we'll definitely pick your boys from Los Angeles. That's going to be my first team. We'll talk about Justin Herbert, who's actually a lot of fun. He's a lot of fun.
He's the reverse of what he was in college.
Yeah. And what I liked about him in college, he brought with him to the NFL, and that is when he's outside the pocket and he makes throws, it's phenomenal. We'll probably do him. It's a good, like, trending up quarterback that a lot of people don't get to see as often as they probably would like. So we'll be back next week, 11 a.m. Check us out for the IBN NFL Recap Show. I'm IBN Yeezus. That is Joe E. Matz.
That's just my Twitter handle. So
I was gonna say, I think he changed it. You have Twitter? Are you interesting enough for Twitter?
Oh, I honestly just retweet other people.
Okay, I was gonna say I'm not interesting enough. It's just
it's for me to read what other people are saying. That's really the purpose.
All right. Well, at Joe E. Matz, or you can find me at Actively Lazy actually on Twitter, and just hit me up. All right. We'll see you guys next week.